Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 27th of March 2024. The Australian share market rose 0.5% today. We'll get more details with Grady Wolf from Bell Direct in a few moments. But first to consumer prices, where the inflation indicator, according to the Bureau of Statistics, stayed at an annual rate of 3.4% in February. Remember, the RBA wants inflation at between 2 to 3% in what was a bit of a mixed report. So for a closer look and what it means for interest rates, I spoke with Madeline Dunk, an economist at ANZ. Madeline, how would you describe the inflationary environment at the moment?
Look, we saw that monthly CPI came in at 3.4% for the third month in a row. And I think broadly what we're seeing is that inflation is come off those highs. It's moving in the right direction. And the RBA would be pretty happy with what they're seeing so far.
Okay, so when you look at the biggest contributors to inflation, I guess whatever your measure is monthly or annually, what are they, both to the upside and downside?
Look, so in today's release, we saw that there were a few categories that grew quite strongly. So, for example, education was up a lot, and that's something that we see at the start of the year when people reset their prices. Things like rents continue to be really strong too, and we know that it's a very tight rental market right now. On the downside, we saw that holiday travel was down, and that's part of the unwinding from those school holidays being over. But I think, you know, broadly when we look at the inflationary environment, it's those goods and that supply chain factors that are really, helping to ease inflation. On the services side, things still look quite sticky, and I think the RBA is going to be looking quite closely at some of those domestic drivers of inflation.
There was a lot of attention when Taylor Swift was in town. Was there a so-called Taylor Swift effect on inflation at all?
Look, we were anticipating that there would be a bit of a Taylor Swift effect, and the result was maybe a bit anticlimactic. We saw that the impact on domestic holiday prices was a lot more muted than what we were anticipating. So the ABS talked about how while accommodation in Sydney and Melbourne was a bit higher than what we'd seen in the past because people were travelling to go to the concerts, on the flip side, we'd also seen that people were travelling less because of school holidays being over. So those effects actually offset that Taylor Swift lift that we were looking for.
So put this in context, what do you think it all means for the direction and timing of interest rate moves and why?
Oh, look, I think that today's number isn't going to significantly change the outlook at all, but it does add to that narrative that inflation is moderating. And because of today's number, it does seem like that Q1 inflation print that we get later in April, which the RBA watches pretty closely, should come in around 0.5% for the quarter. Now, if you annualise that, so in other words, you times it by four, that's going to be annualising within the RBA's target band. I think that that inflation pulse is definitely looking quite good for the RBA, but they're going to be looking at that services side of the economy quite closely. Given what we saw last week with the labour market too, you know, that's going to be a big focus. And I think increasingly we're going to see the RBA pivot its attention away from inflation and towards some of those activity indicators. So in light of the fact that the labour market still seems pretty strong and we know that there's that government support coming through with those stage three tax cuts, it seems like rate cuts are still a while away and we don't expect the RBA to start cutting rates until November.
The RBA governor, I think in the media conference a couple of weeks ago, said something to the effect of, the war on inflation is not yet over, or something along those lines. When you see things like Insurance up 16.5%, rent up 7.6%, education, as you mentioned, 5.1%. And even some of those basics like bread and dairy products, they're still pretty high year on year. You know, how close are we to saying, yeah, inflation is significantly coming down?
It's a great point, and I think a lot of economists are really wary of the last mile challenge. So we've seen a lot of progress so far, but a lot of that has been driven by global factors, by those supply chains unwinding, by, you know, goods coming into the country easier. And really on the local side, as you pointed out, there's a lot of things that suggest that inflation could be quite sticky. When you look at services inflation or non-tradable inflation, both are still above 4%. And I think that those types of pressures can be a lot harder to stamp out. So, you know, you're right. I think you wouldn't want to say that the war inflation is over because we do still have that last mile to go.
Madeline Dunk there from ANZ.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Still, the Australian share market reacted by rising. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.5% to 7,819. For more, I spoke with Grady Wolfe, a market analyst at Bell Direct. Grady, how did the market react to today's inflation report, and what are now the expectations for interest rate cuts from the market?
The market reacted positively today, which was almost surprising, but not really unexpected. And today it just indicates that investors are seeing that the RBA's efforts to tame inflation really are coming to fruition and being welcomed by the market. Now, the rate sensitive sectors like tech and REIT stocks have been rallying since the start of the year on hopes of these interest rate cuts by the end of the year. And obviously investors were really impressed with these sectors as growth is on the horizon for these sectors. But today their investors took the opportunity to take profits from tech and REIT stocks. So that's probably why they came in lower today. Despite the inflation reading coming in favourable, the interest rate outlook remains pretty much unchanged across the board, with markets, economists, analysts all still thinking the RBA won't cut until the end of this year because certain drivers of inflation remain sticky. So you have wages, services and housing inflation, and retail sales are still sticky. So that goes to show the RBA still has a little bit of work to do, but they're not going to cut just yet because that could be too soon, and then obviously inflation could rebound. So we are waiting for some key data coming out in April in terms of housing, wages, services and retail, and then they can obviously keep assessing from there when rate cuts are appropriate, but now we're still expecting them later this year.
So back on the markets, which stocks or sectors are driving it as a result?
As a result today, there was nothing too much that stood out today as a key driver from CPI data, but consumer staples really took off today and they led the gains, and so did healthcare, and that was mostly driven by individual stock news. So Mesoblast was the one that drove the healthcare sector today, up a further 3% after 45% rally yesterday, and that's on the back of some FDA approval or submission approval for the company. So that obviously is very good news in the healthcare sector. And then staples, the supermarket giants, drove the gains there today. But the tech sector, as I said, and the REIT sector, the two rate-sensitive sectors are the ones that are driving the gains in the ASX this year. So it's kind of onwards and upwards across the board, and a lot of investors are definitely taking the opportunity to buy in the opportunities right now, especially with inflation continuing to ease.
Now, I think tomorrow is the end of the March quarter, so that's the first 3 months of the year. How would you rate the first 3 months, and what typically happens on that last trading day? I mean, is there volatility? I mean, I guess fund managers are trying to tidy up their books at the same time. What happens? What's expected?
Definitely. Now, the first 3 months of the year have been actually really surprisingly strong, and that's on the back of a really solid foundation through the earnings season this year, with around 32% of companies beating expectations. So that's really set a solid ground for the third quarter, which obviously wraps up tomorrow. Now, the last day of trade for any quarter is generally quite volatile and quite busy, and trading volumes are kind of increased. Tomorrow, we're not expecting too much volatility because we had the rebalancing happening last week of the ASX 200 and different indices on the market. And then And we had the options expiry last week as well. So that those are two key factors that generally cause a bit more market volatility. So those already have happened for this quarter. So we're not expecting too much. Obviously, investors will definitely reposition their portfolios tomorrow because of the shortened trading week and heading into Q4. But we can also expect some higher trading volumes next week as it's also a shortened trading week to start and kick off Q4.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
At the moment, gold is one that's really jumping out at me, and it has been for a little while, with the gold price at all-time or 50-year highs right now. So it gives an opportunity because there's a lot of different ways to get exposure to gold as well. So rate cuts on the horizon, rising geopolitical tensions, weakening of the US dollar, and falling bond yields. These create the perfect foundation for investment in gold, as it's a safe haven asset and normally a good store of gold. But instead of buying into physical gold, because that seems to be at quite a peak right now, you can buy into an explorer who's exploring for gold and looks for the opportunity on the horizon once they hit the precious metal. So there's a lot of explorers out there that are really making waves right now. Spartan Resources is one. Bellevue Gold's another producer that definitely comes to mind. So gold is definitely on investors' appetite at the moment. And companies that have also implemented price rises in recent times, so in the first half of FY24 and later in FY23, like your James Hardie Industries or Boral, because when interest rates cuts come in, it definitely allows for margin expansion and profit taking for these kind of companies. So the companies that did take the risk and increase prices in the recent times are definitely going to feel the reward come interest rate cut season.
That is Grady Wolf there from Bill Direct. We'll end with some bitter news if you're a chocolate lover, because chocolate prices will continue to rise. In fact, they've already gone up quite significantly, and that's because the price of its key ingredient, that's cocoa, surged to record levels. For more, Raina Bosch spoke with Rabobank analyst Pia Piggott.
We're in our third year of cocoa deficits and we're potentially entering a fourth year. So very low supplies of cocoa globally. And that's really what's causing this price rally to record highs, up 235% in the New York contract and over 300% in the London contract.
How significant is this price rise and who is it impacting?
This is a very significant price rally, particularly for chocolate manufacturers who are having to deal with this price rise. A lot of major chocolate manufacturers would have hedged their chocolate pricing or cocoa pricing and mitigated some of that risk. But long term, we're expecting that these supply difficulties are going to continue. And even if we see that the price comes down a little bit, it will still be significantly above historical averages. So that's really going to put some pressure on chocolate manufacturers and possibly increasing prices.
You mentioned consumer prices there. Consumer and retail prices are being hit by this. How much of an impact is it actually having, though?
Yeah, so in Australia, we've seen that for chocolate, the inflation rate is at about 8.8%. And that says more broadly, food inflation has declined. So chocolate is a bit different to what's happening in the rest of the food basket. And we're expecting that inflation rate is going to remain quite high going into these next few years because we don't see much of a way out in terms of the supply shortages.
So here's the big question that I'm sure everyone wants to know. What is the impact on Easter?
Yeah, so in Easter, we have seen inflation as well at about 7.4%, so a little bit lower than everyday chocolate. But that's because Easter chocolate already is priced at a higher price point than everyday chocolate. We've also seen shrinkflation occur in the Easter category where the price remains the same, but the volume declines. Chocolate manufacturers are trying to keep that price point stable, but it's increasingly difficult to do so.
And what is the expected impact of this on demand?
So that's one of the most interesting things, is that even though we've had 3 years of deficits and the prices continue to rise, we haven't necessarily seen a decline in demand at all. At these record prices, if they're going to remain high for some time, we could see that a demand response to that, but hasn't happened so far.
That's Raina Bosch speaking with Pia Piggott from Rabobank.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.